Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It is a Dude Friday, and he is our friend. He is our teammate. But more importantly, he is our dude, Jason Wilde. Sup, bro, Chacho?
Hello, dude.
Hi,
how are
buddy.
You today?
How are you doing, bud? Easing by. Are you wearing shorts? Because Chewy apparently was getting side eyes from people as he was wearing shorts in the grocery store yesterday.
Do you get that, Jason? Do you get that?
Yeah, but I, unlike you, who's a Adonis, I just have to make a joke about, hey, fat is a good insulator, and then they laugh, and then they leave me alone.
And I can say the same thing. It is the holidays. And I can't work out. I blew my bursa sack out, Jason. Getting old.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope your sack heals quickly.
Yes. Jason, we brought it to your attention yesterday, the Enigma clip that then was making its rounds, and you had asked Matt LaFleur about it. How surprised were they? Because I know LaFleur said, you know, just very flat out that Ted Thompson had nothing to do with drafting Jordan Love. How surprised were the folks that you talked to that Enigma was edited the way it was to make it seem like he had been involved with that decision?
Yeah, and then, of course, then it leads to the conspiracy theorists, who, by the way, like, that is what Aaron Rodgers has become, right? Like, the things he says now have a very conspiracy theorist slant. So now we're all conspiracy theorists-ing that, oh, well, he was involved with the project, so he probably had them cut it that way just to prevent Goody from getting credit for drafting Jordan Love. My working theory, which again is just a theory, is that when you have people that aren't directly involved in the day-to-day operation of the team or didn't cover him every single day that he was here, not everyone knows everything, right? So if you're a documentarian, possibly you just get something wrong. And when you did the editing process, you messed that up. So, I mean, again, and I don't enjoy talking about this aspect of it, but all those guys knew it wasn't accurate because we know how rough a shape Ted was in at that point. Like, he passed away like 9 months later. And so, to me anyway, I just wanted to give LaFleur a chance to kind of shut down all the internet chatter and whatever else. And I don't know if that worked or not or if it just created more, but he could not have been more clear. And again, I know there were multiple people in there while he was being interviewed. And as one of them said to me, like, if he would have said it the way it's presented in the film, he would have stepped in and said, well, wait a minute. Matt, I think you misspoke there. And so, again, I don't think it's a huge deal by any means, but for me, anyway, it just felt symptomatic of everything these days when it comes to the old quarterback, right? Like, there's always got to be some complicating factor, and that was this one. And, again, I know that a lot of people are watching it, and I'm eager to hear what more of them think of it. But this was, you know, he's got more important things to worry about than this, but I felt like I had to ask about it just to clear the air.
Josh, is that good enough for you? Because Josh is one of the conspiracy theorists who believes that Rodgers.
I think what I'm talking about.
I think if we apply Occam's razor, and the correct assumption is the one where you have to make the least amount of assumptions. I think in this case, the least amount of assumptions is made as it's an intentional editing, as opposed to accidentally.
No, the easiest thing is someone made a mistake.
No, because
that's Occam's razor here.
Here's what happened.
Misusing Occam's razor. And you just want
it is not. I'm not misusing it. I'm not misusing it. The fewest amount of assumptions. I have to believe that, one, this was incorrectly edited. Two, it was edited against the person he dislikes maybe the most on earth. And three, no one else saw it or commented on the fact that it was incorrect. So no one watched it after and noticed it there. Aaron Rodgers didn't see this before it was sent to Netflix. Or I'm supposed to believe that, hey, maybe they wanted to say something about the guy they don't like, and they wanted to purposely obfuscate that.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you're literally doing the opposite. But that's just me. And I know you're not a big fan of since I haven't watched it yet, does he get like an executive producer credit at the end of the credits? Like, I don't know what is involved. Like, among the assumptions you're making there, Occam DiMaggio, is that Rodgers had like final edit and like went over it and paid that close of attention to it. And again, maybe he did. I don't know that.
I mean, he let the people into his house. They traveled with him everywhere. Aaron Rodgers wasn't involved with the editing process.
Yeah,
process be going on, like during the season?
As a guy who says he's tortured by perfectionism, he let a documentary on his life that he let them follow around for months go without him having a piece to say about it.
Good point.
Well, I'm sure he made everything that was about him accurate, right? I mean, whatever. Yeah, you want to edit that stuff about Jordan, that's fine. Just do whatever.
Jason, you know him probably the best of anybody. What do you think's going to happen at the end of the year? Is he going to come back? Is he going to retire? Will he be on another team? What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me he's not going to retire. You know, it's amazing to me that we're having this conversation because after the whole Favre thing, I mean, thinking back to the times that we would do the radio show and then we'd be done, like we would talk about how, you know, he would say, I'm not playing past 36. I got too many other things I want to do with my life. I'm not doing it. And of course, now here we are, he's 41. He's still playing. I'm not going to do this wishy-washy, am I retiring, am I not thing like Favre did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does now too, right? So it's amazing that has happened. And all the times that he said, I'm not going to be like that guy.
He's like that
The
guy.
Only way he wasn't like that guy, frankly, was that he treated Jordan Love far better than Favre treated him. Mm-hmm. And my theory on that, based on what I have told you guys again and again and again those first couple of years, is that he didn't think Jordan Love was a threat, as opposed to Brett knowing Aaron was a threat, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to be kind to Matt Flynn, who you don't think is going to take your job, or Scott Tolzien, or the litany of backups that have gone through. And if you don't think that Jordan Love is any good, you can give him all your secrets and do all those things and be a good guy to him because, you know, you're not really threatened by him. Now, that's not fair to him. He might have been that way even if Jordan had come in and looked fantastic, but he definitely didn't those first couple of years. So, again, I mean, I don't know if anybody else has enigma fatigue. Maybe it's just me because I've been asked so much about it. But I will give Rodgers this. To maximize the conversation in Wisconsin, it was released during the perfect week to do it because they're 14.5-point favorites against a bad Saints team, and there's not a whole lot of sexy topics to talk about with the Saints, other than that, like, Lucas Patrick and MVS play for them.
Quickly, last thing on Enigma, and it's just more of a statement. Aaron Rodgers on IMDb.com, not listed with an executive producer credit.
Okay.
So he is not listed as an EP in any way. So let's go ahead and talk about Jordan Love, because Matt LaFleur yesterday, Jason, said that he thought that Jordan is playing the best ball of his career. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, do you?
I mean, I think it's equal to. I don't know if it's better than what he did over the last eight games last year.
Yep, totally agree. Statistically, it's slightly better in these five games than it was in those eight games. We'll see what he does to close out the regular season. But I thought that was a little bit of hyperbole. And frankly, part of it is that he's being asked to do less, right, than he was last year, I thought. You know, what has he thrown? 8 touchdowns over the last five games. There's been games where he's only thrown like 20 passes. Like, I just don't think that the burden on him is quite the same as it was And look, Aaron Jones had 100-yard games in each of the last five games last season. So that was a successful running game was part of the equation then, too. But it just feels to me like, at best, it's the same level, which, by the way, is a really high level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, like, statistically and everything else. So I'm not downgrading him by any means. But, yeah, I didn't know if I necessarily agreed with that when I heard him say it. When I was sitting, now granted, I was sitting in the back row because I came in and I'm scarred now from him embarrassing me in all in good fun for coming in late. The roads were slick. And so I walk in and he's walking in. So do I go, I have that momentary, do I go to my regular seat? Nope, I'm going to sit right here. And I could tell he was looking at me like, what the hell are you doing?
There? Suddenly it became musical chairs and you just had to find an open chair.
Yeah, I just didn't want to embarrass myself, which I don't need any help doing.
To your point quickly, Jason, he has not thrown 30 passes since the bye. He has not thrown 30 passes in a game since the bye.
Yeah, which is great, by the way, for their offense, right? Mm-hmm. That they're able to be productive, and he doesn't have to carry that kind of burden. So, again, he's playing great. Is it the best ball he's played? I'm not quite willing to say that, but I will say this. He has made some ridiculous throws, right? Couple of them to Watson each of the last 2 weeks, like the kind of throws that, again, remind me, this is the same guy that I used to say, I haven't seen enough wow throws from him. And now that is definitely not a problem.
Jason Walker, Jair Musgrave, who's playing, who's not?
Walker's not playing. Bullard's not playing, I don't think. I mean, maybe he'll practice today, I guess, but I doubt it. Anytime LaFleur calls a guy week to week, you know he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't – Walker ain't playing. I mean, we even – you know, without him flat out saying it, the fact that the conversation yesterday turned to could Cooper just go in and play the mic and fill in for him while he's out, and the fact that LaFleur – engaged in that discussion tells you that they're trying to figure out who they're going to play at Mike instead of him, which I think will be either Eric Wilson or Isaiah McDuffie. I don't know what to think about Jair. He complimented my hoodie yesterday. He did not give any insight into what's going on with him in terms of his availability. So that's your guess is as good as mine there. And I have to think, based on what John Dunn, the tight ends coach, said to us yesterday, that Musgrave is at least another week away, if not two.
That put him right up against decision time, would it not?
Yeah, I mean, they could always activate him
and then,
and
just
then have him be inactive for games, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they have some options there, but, you know, it was interesting because John Dunn, who, in fairness, you know, and I don't mean this in a mean-spirited way, but his press availabilities with us, he doesn't usually give us a whole lot. You know, those tight ends coaches.
Yeah, we're a different
breed. What Sherman was like. Yeah. You know, Andy Reid, until he became a quarterback's coach, then he was a much better talker. But he usually doesn't give us much. And he went pretty in-depth into the process that Musgrave's going through trying to get back all his different skill sets and fundamentals. And to me, that was a red flag of, he's nowhere near being ready after being out for more than 2 months.
Jason, we always appreciate the time, buddy. We will talk to you, these boys will talk to you on Tuesday.
Sure will.
I look forward to it, Occam.
Also, I wanted to add here quickly, Michael Jordan not listed as an executive producer of The Last Dance, nor was Martha in the Martha documentary, despite both of them being painted in extremely positive lights throughout the entirety of both programs.
Let it go.
I appreciate you fighting to the death on your conspiracy theorist. Not the simplest explanation, but trying to paint it as such. That's why you're the best, Big Cat. Thanks.
You got it, brother.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
See ya.
J- Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Craig Karmazin joins the conversation coming up next, but I do want to tell you about our friends at X-Golf and American Family Field, because it is open year-round, not just open during the baseball season, even though it is inside American Family Field. It is beautiful, overlooks left field, and the space is just so unique. If you're looking to host some sort of corporate event, you need to start, and chances are the search will end, if you just go to xgolfamfamfield.com. Book that corporate event there. They can set up different games on the Sims, but even if, you know, having a corporate event and not everybody's a golfer, it doesn't matter, because that's how cool the space is, with their full bar, with their full menu, and all the different options that they can give you. Find out more. It's easy. XGolf, AmFamField.com.